B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatics Trust the Contest. 5K a day free money giveaway.
Presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN.
All right, that's time for the 5K a day cash giveaway. This hour's keyword is news, as in Huey Lewis and the NEWS news. Enter the keyword news on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting news to 45911 by 4:15 p.m. We'll call you if you're randomly selected. You'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website, we qualify for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 97.5thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword news on the Fanatic app on 97.5thefanatic.com or by texting the word news to 45911 by 4:15 p.m. Our Fanatic Trust the Contest 5K Day Cash Giveaway is presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or just go to parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code GREEN. It's the 4 o'clock hour. Yeah, we're talking about the Sixers. Big win yesterday on Martin Luther King Day. By the way, not being on the radio Martin Luther King Day doesn't give us a chance to pay tribute to Martin Luther King. And I tweeted something out yesterday. Martin Luther King, in my view, one of the five most important men in history and civilization. And to honor him, I tweeted out a simple message. Stop being a racist. How about that? Simple. Stop being a racist. Be more aware of your world. Like if you're considering putting blackface on to go to Mummers, don't do that. Be a little more aware of your world. Be a little more tolerant of other people and cultures and what's going to offend people. That's how you honor Martin Luther King. All right. Let's go back to the phone to talk to the 4 o'clock sponsor is, of course, Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. Let's go to Kathy in Lansdale. Thanks for hanging, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
This is the first time I've ever called. I just wanted to say that I think Ben Simmons is a great player with a lot of upside potential. And I think we have to be a little more patient. He's only 23. He's a young kid, and he'll get there. I believe it.
Well, I think he will, too, but that does me no good now. You know?
But like,
I've got to have this team win the East Conference. I don't have any tolerance for, well, he's going to get better, and they're going to eventually do it. I want it to happen now, and I think with his ability, the way he can dominate a game like you saw yesterday, he's got to do more of that.
I agree.
Okay, then we're in agreement.
And I'll say this. I think he's going to do it this year. Maybe I'm optimistic.
Well, I hope he does. He's obviously not going to shoot the ball. So if he can get to the basket like he did yesterday every game, score 25 for me every game, that makes up for the fact that he's not going to shoot it. And then maybe in the future he shoots it and becomes a 30-point scorer.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of value do the steals, the rebounds, the block shots, everything that doesn't, I mean,
tremendous value. But he's got that ability to do everything. That's in there. There are rare players that can do everything. Like for years, LeBron could do everything. Now Giannis could do everything. He's got the talent to do everything. They don't come around very often. So do it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with you. And okay. One other thing,
mm-hmm.
We were talking about Hummels.
Yes.
I have two of them.
Do
from
you?
My mother. I got a gift. She gave them to me as a Christmas present.
Well, how long ago?
Well, she's been dead 25 years. So.
Okay, so you're going to hold on to those because have you appraised them?
No, I have the Apple Tree Boy and the plate to match it.
Well, you got the Apple Tree Boy. I just looked online. It's like $8,000 to $12,000.
I can't believe it's that much.
I got it right here. I got the value of it. Yeah,
really?
You had the apple tree, the boy sitting in the apple tree?
Yeah, on a swing, yeah, and I have the plate that goes with it.
And you have the plate?
Yeah.
I'm giving you...
The funny thing is, I forgot I had the plate. I was just checking it out, cleaning out my dresser, and I failed.
Wow. Well, the plate is not as much as the other. But if you have the Apple Tree Boy, I'm going to give you the appraisal right now. Apple Tree Boy is estimated at $8,000 to $12,000.
Are you sure?
I got it right here in front of me. A Hummel Apple Tree Boy Goble B trademark 32 inch. Is it 32 inch?
Oh, no.
Oh, it is.
No,
a smaller one?
Let me see. How big is it? Yeah, no, it's smaller.
All right. Well, I don't have. Wow. Wait a minute. The smaller. Wait. It's so smaller scale. I mean, 3.5 and 6 inches, respectively. Right. Several hundred dollars.
Oh, wow.
Several hundred dollars. There you go.
I'll keep this for my kids.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Kathy. Yeah, 32 inches is the major one. The pair of figurines, Apple Tree Boy, Apple Tree Girl. $10,000 to $15,000.
You see, this is where I'm different.
What?
If I have that, I'm not passing it down to the kids. I'm selling.
You're cashing in.
I'm cashing in, and then what I'm going to try to do is I'm not just going to spend that money. I'm going to try to invest it in a certain way that'll appreciate faster than the Hubbles, and then maybe I pass on the cash after I take my $15,000 on to the kids. I'll take my 15 out. Hey, I'm turn this into 40. You guys get 30. I keep my 15, and we're good. So I'm still hooking you up. But, you know, gotta spend some of that before I pass away.
I'm looking at these values. Now, these are like the display size, because that's like a 30 inch size called the display size.
You gotta have the nice
this
big
is
one.
What the thousands are. Yeah, but the other one was several hundred.
Several hundred dollars.
And you bought it for what? 100 maybe at the time?
Who knows? Maybe less.
Maybe less. Now, the colossal version, marked 142/X, can be valued, according to Hummel expert Carl F. Lucky, at $26,500 or more.
Or more.
Or more.
So that
means colossal version, which is but obviously bigger than the 32.
Yeah, which means for the insurance purposes, you probably got insured at about 40.
Exactly.
To be safe.
Like the Duke brothers in Trading Places.
That's what I mean. You got to go above for the insurance value. You got to go higher.
Let's go to Thomas on a cell. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
How you doing?
What's up, Thomas?
I got three questions. We'll get three good answers coming from y'all. One is Burks, trades, in the lineup. I wish Brett Brown make up his mind about Burks. I mean, he said the other day, a reporter asked him why Burks is not playing. He responded and said he's been rotting on the bench, and I don't want him rotting no more, so I'm going to play Nato, number 30.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, the last three or four games, Burks haven't even sniffed the court.
Trey Burke. You're right about that. It is weird the way Brett Brown does that. Now, when you think about it, he wants to keep guys fresh. He doesn't want to make them stale in case he needs them. So he plays them. But he doesn't seem to believe. Like, he did this with Ennis a couple games ago. You know, he'll go to Neto for reasons that are unclear to me. Only he knows why he's going to Neto. Maybe he feels more secure with Neto. And maybe he's just trying to get him some playing time. And then he'll anchor him back on the bench. And Trey Burke will get back in there. But he does do weird stuff like that.
Okay, now, I heard a trade today. I don't know how true it is. Yahoo said about Derrick Rose of a sign and trade. So who would the Sixers trade for him, and why would you need a Derek, if you need shooters?
No, it's a straight trade. It would be a straight trade. And you'd have to match. What's Derek Rose making? Seven? 7.5. So, Mike Scott would probably go in a deal like that. And maybe Zaire Smith, who is in the G League.
Okay, and one last thing, Mike. An analyst said, and I don't know if you're really going to agree with this or not, analyst said that the way the Sixers are constructed right now, they can go to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
And win it.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't think I don't even think they can win the East. Who said that?
You know who said it?
Who?
Jim Lynam.
Well, I disagree.
If you want to believe me, you check it.
I disagree.
Monday,
well, listen, he may have said that. I don't believe it. I don't, you know, believe. I have a difference of opinion with Jim Lynam.
He just said the way it's just, where they're constructed right now, he believes that they can get to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I don't. So we can agree to disagree. Jim Lynam's a great basketball man, and he's got a lot of wisdom. I'm not saying it. Sorry. They have to add to this team. To win the NBA Finals, he said? Did he actually say that?
I didn't hear him say that, and I'm with him.
I don't know if he said that. I can't imagine that he would say that they could win the NBA Finals with this team. You know, there are people that believe they can win the East currently, but I don't think anybody could think that they could win the NBA Finals.
I think he thinks they match up well with the Bucks.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't hear him say that either, and I see him pretty often, and yeah. I haven't heard him say
it. You know, if he said it and he believes it, you kind of believe it. There are a lot of people that believe it. I don't.
No. They would. It would have to be optimal. I'm saying if they were optimal, what are the odds that they're both optimal? They've never been optimal. But if both stars are at peak position, they can do it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't believe they can both. They will be at peak position yet. I don't think they're there yet.
Okay.
Now, maybe next year, maybe the year after.
I'm giving them peak condition, and I don't think they can do it.
Oh, I think they might, yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of flawed teams.
All right. Let's go Bernie Cherry Hill. Bernie, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Bernie.
Hello, Mike.
What's up, Bernie?
Great show, as always.
Thanks, buddy.
Just two points. One with the Sixers, if they could draft Miles Powell out of Seton Hall.
Good player.
And the Eagles draft Chase Claypool, wide receiver out of Notre Dame. They would be so much better.
Chase,
how can we get them? How can we get them both here?
Where is Chase Claypool ranked in the wide receiver lot?
That I don't know, but he's 6'4", quick, and he catches everything in sight.
He's probably not that fast, because I don't know where his ranking is in the NFL draft. He was 6'4", could run. I have not seen him in the top five.
Okay, all right.
But, well, you know, I'll check and see where he is. Okay. Are you a Notre Dame fan?
Big time.
Yeah.
Eagles need more Notre
Dame.
Yeah,
he's way down on the list, probably because he can't run.
Oh, he's out of Canada.
Yeah, I'm sure in Notre Dame games he showed up well. I mean, he's way down on the list. He's like, I see 15 on one list, I see 19 on another list. He looks like a fifth rounder.
Wow, I'm surprised. I am surprised.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they can get him anyway.
Yeah, now the kid from Seton Hall is a nice player. I like him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chase Claypool runs a 4.5.
Okay.
So he's projected like in the fourth round area.
Oh, gee. Okay.
All right. Hey,
keep up the great work.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much.
Eagles can't use him for this sentence. This thing right there, they're talking about his good things. He had good yards and everything. Mm-hmm. Said if he were faster, he would be a first rounder.
Well, there you go.
If you're saying that, the Eagles now, they don't need another guy.
They got J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. That's what he looks like.
They got a whole squad full of guys of ifs.
Yeah, you need some speed.
Now,
you look at those teams, team speed. 49ers defensively, team speed.
Flying around.
And the Kansas City's offense.
Now, I will say, like, if it's the fourth round and it's value and he was a productive player, mm-hmm. I'm not against taking him if I already have drafted speed. I can, because I don't know if Arcega-Whiteside can play. Maybe he could be what we thought Arcega-Whiteside can be and be the possession guy. It's not like I'd be take him off the list. But early, I need somebody under 4.4.
Yes.
Somebody under 4.4.
I totally agree with you. And they're not going to get Judy. Colorado is not that fast. He's a big, not fast guy. CeeDee Lamb is worth a shot, but he's a 4.5 guy.
You got to see how they run, though.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, the kid from TCU is a 4.35 guy. Now, I would take a shot on him.
Yes.
And nobody's talking about him. Ruggs is a 4.4 guy. Certainly take a shot on him. Yeah. He may be there. T. Higgins, big guy, 4.5.
But see, that there are people who think that when he runs, he'll be faster because he was able to run from guys.
All right.
I got to do the combine.
The other kid from Alabama is 4.45.
That's not, yeah, no, they got
Devontae Smith.
And I'm not against him either. I need guys, and I get the track fast. I also need run away from you on a football. Like, Emmitt Smith wasn't fast, yet on the field he ran away from people. So you have to balance it with the tape. But I can't have just this straight possession, 10, 5 and out guy.
How you feeling about that Penn Stater? KJ Hamler. Oh, Tyler being a Penn State guy.
Look at
he's
him.
Shaking his head.
Look at how he's
no,
doing.
No, KJ
he
Hamler.
He's like 4 pounds.
See?
He makes what, me look
5'9", 176. You see that type of player in the NFL now. He's a second round pick.
Yeah,
this is knit on knit crime.
Nope. That's knit on knit crime.
Come
that
on.
Dude's a game breaker.
Oh, no. What is happening? You guys can't get along.
Nope. Well, I would listen. If he's there in the third round, I would take him. He's you could use to do a lot of stuff with that
guys. Kid. You can get in space. They need guys where the quarterback can throw a little dump off, and he can take it to the house. The Chiefs got a bunch of those guys.
The 4-4 guy, come on, man.
Look at Tyler. He watched every snap of every game.
There's so many receivers that I like above him.
Of course, he's ranked in like 10th. I get it. But to say you wouldn't like him, if he's there for you in the third, fourth round?
I'm not talking about grabbing him at the first round. He's available in the late second, early third, yes, without
last,
a doubt.
Last Penn State wide receiver that kind of dropped a little bit, playing pretty darn good down in Tampa.
Oh, Godwin?
He's a little bigger, though.
I'm saying he was a guy who wasn't highly coveted, third round pick, and now look at him, 1,000-yard guy. He'd be the Eagles' number one.
Yeah, he always was a solid player. KJ Hamler is like a gimmick player. I agree with Tyler in that respect.
Right.
Like he's not an everyday wide receiver.
My gosh.
Every down wide receiver. Let's go Eric in Collinswood. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
What's up, Eric?
I called you like a month ago or so. I wanted to talk to you about the Phillies again, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. I just have two questions for you. It looks like you're correct, and probably Adam Haseley's got a good shot at being the starting center fielder. I guess my question is, do you think he has any chance of learning how to hit left-handed pitching?
I'm pretty clear on what I think Adam Haseley is. I think he's a fourth outfielder. I don't think he's an everyday center fielder.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of...
He's a guy that's a valuable bench guy. I don't see him as a starting center fielder. They're going to try it. We'll see what they do.
Yep. Yeah, they'll give the kid a chance, and we'll take it from there, I guess.
Yeah, now he could improve. He didn't look good hitting left-handers his first year, but maybe he improves. Center field, you're not looking for a lot of pops, so they could probably get away with it if he can hold his own. You know, but as a corner outfielder, I just don't think he had enough pop. So we'll see what he does as center fielder.
Okay, no, I appreciate that. And the other question I have is about our friend at first base, Reese Hoskins.
Uh-huh.
Do you think maybe this year, Mike, he can somehow maintain a solid average?
Yes. I do. I think he's going to have a comeback year.
You do?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think he lost his confidence. I think you can get your confidence back.
Okay, boy, that would be wonderful. I really like him. I just would love to see him at the 260 to 270 range.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a comeback year from him.
Okay, Mike, that's great. Something for me to refer to. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. All right, man, you got it. Appreciate the call. I had their roster the other day. It's a 26-man roster now, right?
Yeah, one extra guy, yeah.
Okay, so... I'll work on that. I had their pitching. Like, there's a couple gaps in the relief pitching, but I pretty much had their roster down.
That's not good enough. That I know.
Yeah, the back end of the starting rotation is not good enough, and they have a significant bullpen holes. I don't think they're a contender by any stretch of the imagination next year. Scott in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's
man?
Up, Scott?
Listen, real quick about the Hummel. So I looked it up. There's this reader that's worth $35,000, and it says $50 for shipping. So could you imagine the guy saying to you, Mike, I'll give you $35,000, and then you go, what about the $50 for shipping? And the guy says, I don't have it, and then you go, forget about it. Let me tell you something.
For $35,000, I would drive it to his door.
I know.
I wouldn't even take a chance on shipping it.
I know. Why are they even putting the $50 shipping? But
would you ship a $35,000 Hummel? Are you going to trust the shipper?
I know, but that's what it is.
You got to be kidding me. And then it comes with, like, the hands broken off, and then you got Ugats.
I know. I know. Listen, real quick about Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are calling up saying it's only the Nets, it's only the Nets. What did he do against the Bucks Christmas Day in three quarters?
He played well.
Right. He had a monster game.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so people are calling up Petrelli and Nets, and then I want to compare him to a Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz comes out and beats four stiff teams at the end of the year, and everybody's saying he's the greatest quarterback since Joe Montana. No one's saying that he beat four stiff.
How's everyone doing?
Right, like he came out, he beat four teams, and he played well. Why can't Ben Simmons have a huge game against the Nets and play well? I don't understand people's, like thing with Ben Simmons. Why they have such a thing about him?
You can see why you have a thing. The guy doesn't take a shot. How could you not have a thing? Unless he's taking it to the basket, he's not going to score enough points during a game to help them.
Mike, I agree with you, okay? But we all know there's more to basketball than just shooting the ball. Do you see him in the fourth quarter, his defense?
I get it. It's not enough for a player of his level. I'm sorry. Okay. I can't say, oh, but he does this, he does that. I need 25 points. He's capable of that every night.
Okay, and then real quick, I wanted to mention something.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that video on Delonte West?
Yeah, it was very...
That's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Delonte has had his problems. We don't have to play. Do you want to play it?
We don't have to.
No, it's kind of disturbing. I mean, the kid is in a crisis stage, and he has had bipolar problems, and that they've been well documented, and he's been in some kind of troubles after his NBA career. And if you didn't see it, he was... I don't know if it's a drug related situation or what, but he's getting beat up in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And then they put him in handcuffs, and he's just gibberish, talking loud gibberish on sitting on the curb. And it's sad. It really is. And, you know, some people have reached out to try to help him. But he has been in rehab situations before. He had some problems at St. Joe's as well. I know a lot of stories about him on campus.
Yeah,
well,
and
he was at, you know.
And I heard some things. It's just people out there. We have to remove that stigma around mental health.
Yeah, it's a mental health issue, and I obviously it's tragic, and he needs some help, and he probably doesn't have a lot of money now. He looks like a kid that would have squandered some things in his life because he didn't live his life with discipline, because the bipolar syndrome can really rip you apart. So, you know, it's sad.
And he's a father, so there's kids involved. It's a tough situation.
Yeah, 6-1-0. Yeah, and I should, like, the St. Joe people are going to, like, I know Martelli has already sounded off on this. Jameer Nelson has had a few things to say. Hopefully that St. Joe family, Don DeGioia, the former athletic director, can help out here, whatever they need to do for the kid. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's getting up there in our Twitter poll at 4:30, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat off today. Tyler Zuli filling in admirably. Tyler.
Oh, thank you, Mike. So our question today was, will we see the version of Ben Simmons that we saw yesterday more often going forward? A little over 800 votes now. It's moving backwards towards no, but yes, start of the trend still leads 59%. No, it was a one-game fluke. 41%.
All righty. Sounds good. All right. So a little earlier, one of these prop bets on the Super Bowl is whether Kiara Mia will tweet out during the Super Bowl because she went out with Jimmy G.
Yeah.
So that got me thinking about that Kiara Mia. Kiara Mia is probably a spinoff of the Italian term Cara Mia. And I've heard that Caramia in two popular culture situations. One is the old Adams family, where Gomez Adams used to call Morticia, "Oh, Caramia." And then maybe he would kiss up her arm. He would go, "My Bubala," or whatever the hell he'd call her.
Yeah.
And so that's one. Tyler's going, "What the hell are they talking about?" And no, the other is, I'm doing this for Booney because I know how he loves old school Hall & Oates, right? This is the oldest school Hall & Oates that you can get. This is actually when John Oates used to be the lead singer in some of their songs before Daryl took all the songs. And of course, John Oates is a graduate of North Penn High School, where he was a star wrestler. And I remember the story behind him writing this song. They were torn in Italy. This is like when they were really young. They're torn in Italy, and he couldn't find or didn't see any of these beautiful Italian women that he had heard about. So he wrote this song called Italian Girls.
Yes.
So that's it's hit it. This is actually good. John Oates had good voice. I see. Faccia bella, cara mia, but where are the Italian girls? Faccia bella means beautiful face. Cara mia means my darling beautiful face, where are you? All right, there you go. Hey, he's drinking too much vino rosso over there.
Yeah. I had to be tough for Oates.
No, we had him on. You weren't my producer. I had him on.
Yeah.
And I was asking him the question about... What does it feel like to be in that shadow?
He wrote the song, so the checks were going to him plenty. I just wonder when you're on the road.
Well, you have to accept it that Daryl's the talent. Let's face it, Daryl Hall's voice was one of the preeminent voices at that time, right?
Yeah.
So, he knew that.
Well,
he actually addressed it with me when you had him on. We had him on in an interview before you arrived as producer. I forget who was, but Martinez was producer.
I do wonder. I'm talking about, let's say, when the things that adults do, right? When you get backstage, the ratio had to be 30, 50 to 1. I wonder if that bothers you when you're a single adult. I just wonder.
Here's probably the hardest part, because they started recording together, right? So their first album is called Abandoned Luncheonette. He sings like three songs on there, his songs. So it was like Daryl's voice, and then John Oates had a song, his voice.
Right.
And then management must have came in and go, no. For this thing to go, Daryl's got to be the lead singer of all the songs.
Right.
So that probably was the hardest part for him. Like, okay, I'm cut out, and now I'm the number two,
right.
and that's how I have to live with it.
But, I mean, he's still raking in the money because the writer, he's got the money. So I know he's making a great living, and he's doing what he loves. I just wonder how that must be, must go.
I hear you.
When you're a young guy.
I asked him that question.
Yeah.
And he was very philosophical about it and honest about it.
Yeah, I remember him.
And he was cool with it.
Another interview on TV, he said, I knew that this didn't work without me. So he kind of knew his role.
Yeah.
But...
You got to know your role.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're a distributor. Sometimes you gotta get to the basket.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of passing.
Thomas and Broomall. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Thomas?
Good. I wanted to talk about the Sixers. I enjoyed watching Ben play yesterday. I didn't expect him to have 34 points, but, with him beat out, there's more room in the paint for other people to score. I'd like to see him score 30 points every night, but I just don't see that happening. I'm glad that, he stepped up when B was out, and that's one of the games you have to look back, at the end of the season.
Let me ask you this, Thomas. If you have an aggressive mindset for four quarters, why wouldn't it be able to happen? Why can't he score 25 a game at least and sometimes 30? If he has an aggressive mindset to attack for four quarters, why can't it happen?
Like a lot of people say, he only has one way of scoring.
That's okay. He showed yesterday that one way he can get it done.
Going for a layup.
That one way can get it done. You saw yesterday, right? If he's got the mindset for four quarters.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, we saw a mindset in the first couple quarters, and then third, fourth quarter, he deferred, disappeared, whatever. He didn't do that against the Nets.
No. And, yeah, like, the, you know, the Sixers, in order for, you know, they have to make the finals this year, you know, absolutely, because, you know, the Nets, you know, it's going to be harder, you know, down the road. You know, the Nets are going to be better. They're going to have Durant playing. You know, the Heat, they're going to be a better team with their young squad. You know, this is the year they have to do it. I mean, it's the Bucks and us and maybe another team out there that can make it.
You know, I look at the Milwaukee Bucks. I go, Giannis attacks every single quarter. How come Giannis doesn't say, well, I can't attack because Brooke Lopez is taking up space in there? Because they bring Brooke Lopez out, right? Like they can bring Embiid out. Right? It's not like Embiid can't move like out of the paint like that when he sees Ben attacking.
There's no reason. And things can, since Ben's the guy who's always there, it can start with Ben, and Embiid might have to make some adjustments around him. I'm fine with that because he's so skilled. It's not like Embiid, oh no, Embiid has to shoot around the foul line. He can't make that shot. Uh-huh. Of course he can make that shot. He can make any shot. He has everything in his bag. It's silly to suggest that he can't because of Embiid. It's silly.
Yeah. And see, when we talk about this staggered defense, it's not like they can put three guys and join their elbows together to stop them, right? It's always the staggered defense where they show him a depth perception. Well, you saw yesterday, the way he moves, Euro steps, the way he slithers, uses the bounce, crossover, whatever, he just has to have the mindset to do that because he's going to get fouled or he's going to score if he has the mindset.
And if they collapse too much, you kick it out to guys for open.
Exactly.
Looks. Open looks that these guys will make.
Yeah, so that's the difference. What he does with the staggered defense is he quits on it. All right, 610-632-0975. Can I get my Phillies roster here? Not good enough.
Not good enough.
Three open spots have to be filled.
Well, Tyler might help you. He wrote his out, too.
23 out of 26. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 4:45. Mike Missinelli Show. Yeah, spring training coming up soon. Down there in March. Phillies getting ready because Judge Girardi was at the Sports Writers Dinner last night, and Rob Mutel was honored. So got me thinking about the roster as we stand right now. 26-man roster now, and I've got three open spots because there's how I sit. You're starting eight, of course, is Hoskins, Segura, Gregorius, Kingery, Realmuto, and your outfield, McCutchen, Hazley, Harper. So that's eight. Your backup players then would be five instead of four this year. So they can keep eight in the pen, five extras, and they would be Quinn, Knapp, Josh Harrison, Jay Bruce, and one spot's open. They need a right-handed outfielder with some thump. They can hit a bomb off the bench in a pitching situation. All right, your starters, Nola Wheeler, Arrieta, Eflin, Pivetta. Your bullpen right now, six spots locked up, but one of those could be a starter, which would move Pivetta to the bullpen. So right now you got Neris, Sir Anthony, Morgan, Alvarez, Suarez, Velasquez, two spots open. That's your roster.
Do you have those spots, Tyler? Suggestions?
Yeah, the one that I was thinking that you didn't mention was, I think they probably end up using Victor Arano.
Arano might be one of the open spots.
And then they've got a guy they claimed off
waivers,
he's
not a lock.
I think. He had a bad year last year, but they like him. Is Robert Stock.
Well, whatever.
But that's how bad they are.
Rob Stockerana, whatever. They got two spots on their bullpen that they need to fill. So wherever it comes from, who's ever effective.
And they signed, who'd they sign today?
Drew Storen and Bud Norris, both to minor league deals.
Yeah, both of them. Storen has been an effective reliever and also has been a disaster. And Bud Norris a little older, but he was a starter that was effective, and maybe they can use him as a long man.
Yeah. Have some flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, they're okay.
There's something missing.
It's just an okay team. It's not a team you go, wow.
No, and I know that the jetpacks thing at third is supposed to be allegedly temporary. Then you get the kid up, and then he's playing back as the super sub, which I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, well, I shouldn't say so. He's playing all over. I guess he'll still get a lot of time in second base in that scenario, but that's not happening until June.
Notice,
you got to get to June.
No Bamboo Brad.
You think they bring him back? I think he still comes back.
No.
You don't think he comes back?
That's why you get Josh Harrison. They're going to bring Bamboo Brad back. Josh Harrison fills that spot. You got Jay Bruce as a left-hander. Quinn's a switcher. Knapp's a left-handed hitter. You're not going to bring the left-handed hitter back. He's out.
He's gone.
Yeah,
for sure.
They haven't even mentioned his name.
So that means
late season heroics. They're not even touching him.
So that means he ends up in San Francisco.
Wherever he goes. That's good for him. Take a bamboo plant and your no batting gloves and just start raking. Matt in Bala Kingwood. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Matt?
I'm doing all right, man. I can't complain, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, man, how you been doing?
I'm doing all right.
I'm watching your show right now. I mean, sometimes you seem a little frustrated, which is understandable. But
I show you my emotions every day, Matty.
I know, and I love it, man. Honestly, I do. I really do love it. But listen, like, I'm here to talk about this Ben Simmons situation.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, the question of the day, can you repeat it to me, please?
The question of the day?
Yeah.
The question of the day is simply this. Can he do that on a near every game basis to make up for the lack of offensive punch that they've had, thereby not necessitating a move at all?
Okay. So this is what I have to say about Ben Simmons in my own opinion.
Okay.
In my own opinion, he does not have the demeanor that he should be having every single game.
Well, that's the big question of the day. Does he have the demeanor to do what he did yesterday?
Because if it comes down to it, yeah, he has the ability to do and score 34 points a game. But if you look at the schedule and, you know, you look at the wins and losses, the team isn't doing that bad right now. But the thing is, Ben,
excuse me?
Yeah, he needs to be more dominant.
The team's not doing that bad right now.
I don't agree with is that I don't think that we should hold him up to this standard where, you know, he should be a 34-point-a-night scorer.
Well, he's not going to be a 34-a-night scorer, but we got to hold him to a higher standard than 16, 18 points a game because they need offensive punch.
Absolutely.
So what are you saying exactly?
Honestly, I'm just really frustrated, to be honest with you, Mike. I'm honestly frustrated.
Well, you said they're not playing that bad. Well, they're the fifth seed right now.
I'm talking like the last couple games here because I'm looking at the schedule right now.
Uh-huh.
But like what I'm saying is like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I know there's room for improvement for Ben, but like it's just different when I think Joel Embiid comes back into the situation.
I hope you're right, but they still have to blend that whole Embiid situation, and they hadn't blended when he went out.
Exactly. If you don't mind, could I have a question of the day?
What question of the day are you talking about? There's no question of the day, bro. This is.
I thought you guys give away question of the day or something like that.
General Knowledge Wednesday's tomorrow. Holmes?
General Knowledge.
Come on, man. Come on. You got to know the show. What's the question of the day?
What is the question of the day?
All right, let's go to Bilal in South Philly. What's up, Bilal?
For real, I got to go after that there.
my man thought we had gifts and prizes to give out. I don't know.
The question of the day. I'm like, okay. Let me know what the question of the day is. What's up, Mike, man? You know, I just want to say I'm so glad Ben had the game he had. And it's crazy because I think a lot of these people, and this is just my own opinion, a lot of these people that's talking about training, they must not be basketball players. Like, maybe they just don't play basketball. Because if you play ball, you see the talent that he has, you're going to pick him anyway. You know what I mean? Like, so the things that he needs to do, he got to get there, but you're not going to let him go. Like, you can't let him go. So these people must don't play basketball. That's all I can say.
Well, I just think it's a reflection of their frustration because he's robotic-like out there, and we can't seem to get to his emotions, and it's frustrating to a lot of people.
Well, it probably is, you know, but I'm not getting frustrated. I mean, I get mad when he don't take a shot, but I'm not frustrated. But I just want to say two things real quick. First, I want to know, and I'm going to hang up and listen, but I want to ask Ty something first. What can we do to get Derrick Rose? And then I want to ask Ty, where are you from, man? Because you could have been, some of the things you say, you could have been my next door neighbor, man, for real. I don't know where you from.
Where are you from, Bilal? Where are you from?
I'm from South Philly.
My man is from Jersey.
Oh, man, he could have been my neighbor.
Oh, hey, Pence talking.
The China cabinet thing and the snitch rule and some of the other things you say, my man. You know what I mean?
Apparently they roll that way, Pence talking too.
I guess so. You know what I mean? I don't know. I never played across the bridge. You know what I'm saying?
You never crossed it?
We didn't play things when I was younger. We didn't play across the bridge.
Yeah, I didn't go across the bridge either. Never mind, except for Burlington. I went across the 5 cent bridge.
There you go.
Burlington Bristol Bridge. That's how I got to Pennsauken, too.
Take 130 to Pennsauken, from there.
Pennsauken Mart.
Yeah.
I used to go there.
Yeah, rest in peace, Pennsauken Mart.
Pick out some sneakers in a barrel.
Yeah, that's going. They got some new stuff going on over there.
Yeah, some like a 12-pack of sweat socks.
They had all that stuff in there.
Bubbo socks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, has to go all over there.
That stuff.
Yeah. All right, so let's look at the upcoming schedule. Tomorrow night at Toronto.
I actually think it's a win.
You like that, huh?
Yep.
Then the Lake Show, Saturday.
That's a loss without Embiid.
Golden State.
Win.
Home.
Stone win.
At Atlanta.
Stone win.
It's four in a row now. At Atlanta, at Boston, at Miami, at Milwaukee. Oh, my.
That's a tough stretch. That's a tough stretch.
2-2?
Yeah, because 2-2.
Revenge for the Bucks.
And triple revenge for the Celtics.
Yes.
Triple revenge without Embiid. Tough. Tough spot for them.
They could lose three in a row.
I don't think they will. I think they find a way.
Sal Powell's coming up at 5:15. Talk some football. Yeah, there's a Super Bowl coming up. It's the Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.